G'day, mates.
Hello, hey, friend.
Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know the 35 GM has been delayed?
Yes, we talked about it.
Are you sure?
What do you mean? Oh, but didn't you just say someone's got one? I saw somewhere that someone had one.
Did we talk about it like on camera or just chatting?
No. It was on like an episode from like two weeks ago.
I'm just delirious.
Oh, so yours has been delayed.
Oh, well, I don't know. You can't get them here. But some snapping users have them in the UK. They got them from Digital Rev.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm half tempted to buy one from Digital Rev.
I definitely want one.
Do you still get stuff grey import lately?
Never. Should I? Should I get all dodgy?
I don't know. I'm pretty tempted.
Remember Kai from Digital Rev?
I do. He started his own YouTube channel, didn't he? Kind of went off on his own.
He's quite a jovial
character.
I enjoyed his videos. They're always on a little bit on the rude and like a little bit dodgy side, I liked. I don't think Digital Rev liked that, but no, I liked it.
That might be why he went out on his own. And they used to be the king of eBay, and now they're not on eBay. You can only buy directly from their from their site.
Yeah, I guess they were paying like percentages.
They would have been.
How do I find the Sony on their website? They should make it easier. Oh, shop. Okay, I wasn't in the shop. Lenses.
Are you on there now, are you?
Oh, and I typed in Canon straight away.
Yeah, I did that sometimes as well.
Millimeter. Yeah, I used to watch their things all the time on Digital Rev. Okay, so Sony FE 35mm 1.4 GM lens. What is this? It's $2,492. What currency is that?
Are you on the digital? I don't know. Should say. It's about that in Australian dollars.
I wonder if that's New Zealand dollars. Because it knows I'm in New Zealand.
It might.
Hmm.
Hey, on the front page of Digital Rev website, there's an article about a Sony drone.
Oh, I've heard about those.
Called an AirPeak.
That's right.
Interesting.
Have you not heard of them?
I'd never heard of this.
Yeah, it's a thing.
It looks pretty gangster. It looks like a pretty high end. It's got like a dangly camera. Hasn't got one of those built in cameras. It's got
a proper like gimbally thing.
Yeah, like an undercarriage.
That looks like an Inspire 7S2.
Oh, that one has a built in. Oh yeah, it is a full camera, isn't it? Jeez, that's going to be an expensive drone, man.
Whole new thing we've got to learn about.
Oh my goodness, I'm not buying one of these. That looks huge.
AirPeak? That's a name.
Yeah, AirPeak, I guess. Hey, how are you, buddy? What's new?
What is new? Dude, it's February. Weddings. Huge.
Just the huge. Well, by the time this drops... Oh, no, yeah, it is February.
Yeah, trying to do some like house stuff at the same time as wedding stuff and editing stuff and keeping it all together.
I saw on Facebook some wonderful photos of you and your gorgeous family.
Oh, thanks.
What lovely photos.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah. So yeah, we had some photos done by Hayley Rogers.
Is she a local Mungify photographer?
She used to be from up in Whangarei and she's actually moved to Hamilton.
Okay.
So she's not really local, but she and Kat are good friends, and yeah, she took some shots for us. It was super nice.
Lovely photos. Lovely. And it's funny because I haven't seen Dallas since she was like very small.
Oh yeah, she was like a proper baby.
Oh man, she was like months
when you guys were here. Yep. Yeah.
So seeing her in that, I was like, what? She's so cute.
Yeah, she's like a proper kid now.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, she's the bomb. She had a pretty grisly morning this morning, though. Some days are grisly days.
Man, I have those days, too.
What are you up to, anyway?
Lots of shooting. I'm just on Facebook and I just saw some wedding photos pop up from someone who didn't book me because I was busy, and the photos they got, I'm not impressed. What else are we doing? We sold our apartment in Wollongong.
Oh, wow. Nice work.
Good. I don't know. Yeah, lots of shooting, lots of lusting after 35 GM. And don't know, man. Looking forward to traveling again. Thinking about ordering an X100V.
X100V, okay.
Like the one we gave away?
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Do it.
I really like them.
Just for like the travel season?
Well, the one, yeah. Or just even I had this idea of could I for portraits take the 35 around my neck as the, you know, like instead of having to take a 35 and an 85, I could just take the 35, the X100V around my neck and then have an 85 on a Sony.
Okay.
I don't know if that would work though. I'd have to wait and see.
Interesting. What advantage do you think the X100V would give you?
It would just be lighter and smaller. Just easier to carry around. But I don't know if it's worth it really, but.
So one way to find out.
Yeah, man. And that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Sweet. Mean, bro.
I have a few snap downs.
Hit me.
On Monday night, I went for a drive with Dan and my mate Michael, who are both photographers. And we went up to Kangaroo Valley and it was really nice and misty. And we just went out on a quote unquote scouting mission with some cameras. And we ended up taking a bunch of portraits of each other.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we went out and had dinner and it was so awesome. And we all end up with some really nice photos of ourselves for like our websites or Instagram or whatever. And I just think it's really nice. Very rarely are we in photos as photographers.
That's true.
Except for obviously you just had those photos taken of you guys, which is really nice of the family. But even just some nice photos of our own selves for our portfolios and for our websites is really nice. So I don't know. I think that you should, as a wedding photographer, put yourself in front of the camera here and there. It just makes you, again, remember how weird that feeling is of being photographed. And I feel maybe we could be a little more sympathetic to maybe our clients if we remember that feeling. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, yeah.
How did you find being photographed on the beach?
So how did I feel about those photos? If I'm totally honest, so Kat organized it with Hayley because they're old friends. And actually, Hayley was saying how they've done a shoot before just with Kat and Dallas. And
is that the one she was in that beautiful red dress or that kind of radio? Oh, it's so nice.
And so anyway, I came along to this one because basically I was told to. I didn't try to get out of the first one. I just wasn't invited.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it was for Kat and Dallas. That's okay.
Okay.
I don't mind being in photos like that. I didn't find it too hard. Hayley was really good at like prompting us and telling us what to do and all that. And I did find myself looking at Hayley a few times to kind of look to see if she was actually taking photos at that point or if she was like, you know, looking around at whatever, you know, just as you do.
Okay.
And then she'd tell me off for looking at the camera and I was like, ugh, I wasn't like looking at the camera. I was just looking to see like if you're actually taking photos. But yeah, okay, so whatever. But honestly, when I look at the photos, I really hate looking at myself in those photos.
Really?
And so that's something I've got to work through.
So you don't think you look great in those photos?
No, if I'm honest, I can't even look at them.
Man, I think you look handsome AF.
Oh, cheers, bro.
Seriously, man, you look great. And there's one particular photo, I think it might be the last one in the post, where you guys are like laughing as Dallas kind of runs towards you.
Mm.
So cute, man.
Oh, thanks, bro.
Big GC, big handsome unit. I reckon you look awesome.
Ugh, thank you.
I mean, we all think we look crap in photos, right?
I'm so happy to be behind the camera.
I know what you mean. But I actually got the photos back that we took up at Kangaroo Valley on Monday and I was like, damn, that's a nice piece of bearded monkey.
Teased you, goodness.
Ah, man, I don't know. Yeah, it's good.
Hey, you've lost heaps of weight. You're in holding you.
Yeah. I can see it in the photos. So I guess, yeah, that's some bit of proud awesome, of myself. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. Love the old long. I've got a snap down we could probably talk about.
I'm ready.
Or do I? Maybe I lied. I've got one that's totally different to all the stuff you just talked about.
Okay.
And that is that, did you know, a lot of, have you heard of a technology called Thunderbolt?
Of course.
Right. Have you heard of like hard drives and things like that that have Thunderbolt ports?
Yes, and I've done a bit of research into them, but not a whole lot.
Thing is with Thunderbolt is you can daisy chain different things together.
Yep.
And I just realized, well, I've kind of known it for a long time, but I haven't really used Thunderbolt a lot. But I've got a hard drive and I was using an external GPU and both of them had Thunderbolt in and out.
Uh-huh.
So you can daisy chain things together.
Yeah.
And it's actually a really good way of being able to like have all your different hard drives and all your different like external peripheral things all plugged in, but only using one port on your actual computer.
Yeah, it's awesome, eh?
So my snap down is just to look out for the anything that can be daisy chained, because it's actually a really good way of connecting lots of things to just one port.
So what are you daisy chaining right now?
Currently, admittedly, I've gone to the M1, so the two things I was daisy chaining now I'm not going to be using anymore. However, I was using an external GPU and an external 2 gigabyte SSD hard drive, but it's like a RAID hard drive. It's like quite a flash one.
Okay.
And I was able to daisy chain those together and then add on to the very end of that, I had on my computer, I have like a personal hard drive that just has all my stuff, all my personal like files and just old photos and just old stuff.
I have one like that as well, yeah.
What it did require, because it's a spinning disk, it's like an old 4 terabyte, you know, portable spinning disk.
Yep.
And originally it was a USB-A, you know, your old-fashioned USB connection. Mm-hmm. And it was going to a USB-B connection. But have you seen those USB-B mini ones where it's kind of almost like two separate connectors in one plug? Have you ever seen those? Most of like the Seagate little portable hard drives have it. It's basically, it's a smaller version of the USB connection, but it's slightly longer and it's kind of almost USB 2 mini or micro or something.
Oh, yeah, I know the one. Yeah,
it's got two little, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So originally the hard drive I was using was normal boring old USB-A and at the other end this USB B mini or whatever. So I went online and I was able to buy a USB-C to USB B mini cable. So nice. What it meant was I could plug my pretty old now spinning hard drive straight into a Thunderbolt port, which was actually pretty sweet. And what I learned from that is going to Thunderbolt doesn't necessarily mean upgrading all your stuff to a new Thunderbolt technology. You can actually just buy the cable.
There you go.
Which is that's a little double extra snap down for you.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to do a dongle life if you're on a Mac. Yeah, you can just change the cables. Like I have for my laptop, which is USB-C, I have all like cables that allow me to use the spinning hard drive directly into the USB, into the Thunderbolt port. Yeah, so that's good. Thunderbolt, that's good. USB-C, whatever it is, yep. The nomenclature is a little confusing between Thunderbolt nomenclature. And
oh my
USB.
God.
What a word.
Yeah, because it's like Thunderbolt 3. No, it's not Thunderbolt 4. I don't know if it's out or if it's coming soon, Thunderbolt 4. And then you've got your USB-C.
Yeah, it's confusing.
And now there's USB 4. Because you can have USB-C, but it's USB 3. Or it can be USB-C, but it's USB 4. It's out there, mate.
How confusing.
Hard to understand. But these days, it seems like everything just kind of works. So,
just wondering if I have any other... do you ever get an email? So, you've been conversing with someone about their wedding. And then you finally...
So, they've booked me?
No.
Okay.
So they've emailed you and asked for your prices and you're free on their date. You've sent the prices. You've sent a few emails back and forth. And then they email you and they say, oh, just wanted to let you know we've decided to book someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you want to write back?
It's like you want to do something awful, but you could do nothing. Or a nice little, hey, hey, good luck for your wedding day.
Oh man, I'm way less nice about it, I guess. I want to
What would a classic TSU response be?
Well, the one I want to write back.
Yeah, okay. What do you want to write?
I'll beep this out. Your loss, you stupid. That's what I want to write back. What do I actually write back? Nothing. I like passive aggressively
ghost
rage delete their inquiry. Because my logic is, right, if they're not paying me money, then I'm not going to waste a single second on conversing with them.
They don't get the goods.
I can use that time on something else that's more important or with someone that's paying me. And
someone that deserves it.
Yeah.
Okay, but I need to tell you this, Tom, and you're not going to like it. Okay. You're really not going to like this.
I'll take it.
I think this was my about 8th wedding I ever shot. And I got an inquiry from this girl, and she went to my school like 2 years below me. And she's like, oh, Greg, you know, I want to book you, rah, rah, rah. And I was like, yep, sweet, let's do it. And then like a week later, oh, Greg, we're going with someone else. And I replied, oh, no worries. It's all good. I like went majorly over the top. Look, you know, if you ever want to like ask me any questions, please, in typical like young, naive photographer.
Yeah.
Anyway, 3 months later, I don't know how long it was. Let's just say 3 months. I get an email, Greg, our photographer has pulled out and oh, you were just so nice. We want to book you.
Interesting.
And I got the job.
But would that have happened even if you hadn't sent back that really nice email?
Well, this is obviously, that's all you've got to lean against now, isn't it?
My rage does not let me like bow down to that level.
So I took that from my early like, you know, naive, wet behind the ears days to be like, oh, just send something. Just say, hey, all good. No worries.
Greg, you are such a source of logic and
I go through the same thing you go through. I'm like imagining what I want to send. And then I go, I'll just send nothing. And then I'm like,
isn't it funny how we have to take the high road so often in small business as a small business owner? We can't just write back, you're an idiot. Like, or, you know, when they say we found someone, I had another one. This is even worse. They booked me like a year and a half ago. Their wedding's in like 3 months. Then I get this email from them last month saying, oh, hey, hope you really well, like pretending to be nice or whatever.
In fact, I love it when you get that email and you're already just, you're scrolling, you're waiting for it.
I'm going to read you the email. So they booked me, in like June 2019.
Okay.
And the wedding is in like April this year or whatever.
Wow.
And then I get this email. I shot their proposal. So they've seen my photos.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
So you're all mates.
January. Well, yeah. So about a month ago, I get this email. Hey, Tom, hope you're well. Okay, this is verbatim. I'm reading it. We were at a wedding on Sunday and they are the same guys doing our wedding videography. And unfortunately, we have decided to use these guys as our wedding photographer as they also offered a really good deal and how great they worked together. And I know you were hesitant about that. What? We understand that we forfeit our deposit. Apologies. Regards.
Wow. Jeez. And
after I sort of read the body of the email about 5 times to try and actually like get through the terrible grammar that was used and the ridiculous, it doesn't even make sense. But so what? He's at a wedding. They meet the videographer who's going to be the videographer at their wedding as well.
Right.
That person also does photography. And that person also says, hey, yeah, I can do a really good rate if you book me for photography as well.
Yeah.
So then the dude's like, well, my photographer is more expensive than that. And given that I'm clearly only worried about cost, I'll bail on my photographer and move my booking with this dude. And part of me wanted to be right back like that. If you really only care about money, man, well, I guess what can you do? But I mean, I don't know if this is a really good decision. Like,
what was the deal with, maybe they thought that you didn't work well with a videographer somehow?
So this is, yeah, that's kind of what he alluded to. And I don't even know. So I wrote back and I was like, I said literally, I was like, oh, that's random. Okay. And then I said, what's their business name? Because like, I want to know Is there something he thinks that I don't like someone or something like that? And he didn't write back. There is one videographer that I would refuse to work with.
Okay.
Like I would actually bail on a wedding if he was going to be there.
Sure.
I've never had to work with him, which is really good.
We've got one of those too.
Really?
Kate did work with him, yeah.
Oh, so she knows that there are sort of issues with the way you guys work or whatever?
Sorry, I didn't mean to like derail you.
No, not at all.
Yeah, she worked with a guy. If people listening might be able to tell who I'm talking about. she had a wedding up here in Mangawhai, and he was the videographer, and the couple paid next to nothing.
Okay.
And day before the wedding, he's like, oh, yeah, he sent Kat a message. Could she pick him up from the airport and take him on the way to the wedding? And so she told me, and I'm like, whoa, there's a lot going on here that he doesn't understand about.
That's weird.
Because the airport is 2 hours from where the wedding's going to be. And it also means, where's he staying like that night?
Anyway,
so he came to the wedding. He got an Uber. He said, oh, don't worry, I'll get an Uber. And the Uber's like, you know,
a lot of money.
$200 or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, then at the wedding, he's drinking beer. Like, they've just had their like ceremony and it's like hugs and kisses. And he's at the bar drinking a beer.
Are you serious?
And then he didn't even deliver the anything. I believe the couple still haven't received anything. And it's from last season.
Oh, it's over, that's so hectic.
But anyway, he was like taken to court and everything because he just did this to heaps of couples. And he was just charging nothing, just taking any job he could and not delivering,
basically.
Horrible. So yeah, if he was on the cards, we'd just be like, sorry. It's just...
Well, I think in that situation, surely you'd instead of just not doing the wedding, you'd be like, guys, you'd be like, alarm bells, guys, this is a really bad idea. You're going to be super disappointed with...
100%. Yeah, of course. You wouldn't just say, see you later.
No, my issue isn't so much, or I don't really know about this person's work. My issue is a personality issue.
Ah, right.
I don't know if I should go into more. But anyway.
Probably not.
Real personality issues. Like, you know how like you have a certain vibe at a wedding and you just act a certain way and you're pretty sure that the presence of someone else, a particular person, would make you not deliver your best.
Yeah.
Anyway. So maybe it was, I don't know, maybe it's this person, and this person told them, is like, oh, that guy hates me.
Maybe.
I don't know. Could be.
Does he do photo video?
I don't know. I didn't think so, but maybe.
Hey, Tom, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
In Australia, do you know many photographers doing hybrid photo video?
This is very interesting. So you're talking both photo and video.
So typically someone with a Sony and they are doing one shooter doing photo and video.
Oh man, no, I don't think I know anyone doing that.
It's kind of becoming a thing.
How do you do that?
Well, look, you need to talk to Chris Turner because Chris Turner kind of like started doing it where he'd shoot a wedding and just like every now and then just hit record on the Sony. Okay. And just do a little snapshot, boom, 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 boom. And then add it as a, stitch it together and add it as a video. Now, Chris, if you're listening, I hope I get this right. I'm pretty sure he always uses a second shooter. So what it ends up being is it's him and another shooter both doing hybrid.
Okay, so there's enough.
And so they're getting heaps of photos. And then for the first kiss, like probably one does photo, one does video. But then it gives you like, basically... It's especially if it's one shooter, like he always uses a second shooter, but if it's just one shooter, it's potentially a good way to earn a lot of money for one day's work. However, I've done hybrid for two groom's preps because like, let's just say the videographer can't, it's a big travel for them or whatever. However it's worked out, it's easier for me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I find it very stressful.
Oh, I can just imagine it'd be horrible.
Just thinking in your head, like as a photographer, like it's like snap, 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 look around, think for a bit, snap, 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 look around, recompose, snap, snap. With hybrid, it's like snap, snap, video, snap, snap, video, snap, snap,
yeah.
Video. It's full on. And I know Chris has like given seminars on it and people are doing it like in New Zealand. People have picked it up and they're doing it. I take my hat off to them. I think I could do it for one or two weddings, but to do it every day as my job, it's a lot to think about.
Okay, practically speaking, if you're going to try and cover the whole day as a hybrid single shooter, if you're going to cover the whole day as a single shooter, like what happens during, say, when the couple are walking back down the aisle? You can't get both, can you?
Well, if you're like, so I'll have like a 135 and a 35. So you would have to be like snap, snap, record, snap, snap, record. The thing is with those highlight videos, you would tend to overshoot by a crazy amount.
Mm.
You know, like you're going to have, if you had a videographer with you to make a 7-minute video, you're going to have like 3 hours of footage.
Yeah. So you don't need that much, really.
Yeah, yeah. So you can be way more selective about the actual video you're getting. It's not impossible. Like, it's, I could
guess,
do it.
Yeah. And I guess for the ceremony, you could have a tripod with one camera on the couple rolling the whole time. That would cover the kiss. That would cover the vows, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's incredible how stable the Sonys are in the hand with the image, with the stabilization.
That's true.
Especially, like, I'm a 135, and that's a big ask, handheld 135. Mm. But if you had 85... It's so, yeah, but I was just interested to know if it's something that people were doing over there because, you know, if you think about it, you're charging, let's just say, $4,000 for a wedding and then $2,000 for a video, and you go out and shoot it all on your own.
Good, that's a lot of work, isn't it?
That's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of cash.
I'm gonna say I'm never gonna try that, but hey, if you do it and you can do it properly, I mean, good on you, yeah.
This is kind of what we were talking about the other day about, you know, doing the prints at the wedding. It's kind of like, where does it end?
I know.
Like, when can you just be a purist wedding photographer or anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this makes me think of so many. It's so interesting. Yeah. And then do couples, do they start expecting more?
Well, this goes back to your original thing where does someone want to book me where it's me plus a videographer, or do they want to book someone? Now, Chris uses a second shooter, but let's just say he didn't. Let's just say Chris just went out and shot photo video all on his own, and let's just say he advertised saying, look, it's just me, so it's not like an extra person on the day. Someone might go, yeah, that looks like a really good option. We don't want like heaps of people around. So yeah, it could be that, and like you were saying, you know, when someone selects a different photographer over you and they're like, oh, this guy does hybrid, so we're going with him, and you go, ugh.
You've just opened up the most perfect segue, Greg.
Tell me.
Well, should we talk about sponsors first?
Oh, okay.
Or should we talk about it at the end?
All right, let's race through these.
Go.
Okay, Studio Ninja. This will be one of the only podcasts where we haven't talked about it yet.
But yeah, we literally last episode banged on about them for half an hour and then we're like, oh yeah, they sponsor us.
Oh yeah, whoops. Hey, didn't we make that look organic? Studio Ninja, come on dudes, you know all about it. It's CRM, it's for tracking all your clients and all that stuff. It's the best thing ever if you're a wedding photographer. 1 year subscription, you can get 50% off if you use our amazing code snappening50.
Boom.
Pixaloo,
legends at Pixaloo who do smart albums and smart slides. So I did a wedding on the weekend. I've already edited it. I selected 60 or 70 of my favorite photos. I exported them, put them straight into smart slides on the web platform, chose a song. There's heaps of music already built in. It matched the images up such that they are spaced properly through the song. Chose a cover image, bang, sent it to my couple. That took maybe less than 10 minutes, probably actually 5 minutes. And the couple gets a slideshow from their date. And it's an awesome little extra to give to people. I don't tell them I'm going to do it. They love it. And these guys have given us a 20% off for the first year discount code. That is S4Sydney, P for parochial, G for grandma, 20, SPG 20, 20% off first year. Do it.
What I hope is that people at home are trying to guess the words that you use for the SPG.
I really wish I knew the military words for each letter, like tango, bravo, but I just don't, so I make them up.
Signal or sigma?
Is it?
G is gamma. Is it gamma? Golf. G is golf, and P is pool. Pool.
No.
Surely not. You look it up while I do the Queensberry. So last sponsor of ours, Queensberry Albums. They're like the best album company in New Zealand. And also they have this amazing thing called Workspace where you can have your own website. You can have your own gallery. I use Queensberry Galleries for delivering all my images to clients. I love it. It's the best gallery system I've ever used. Now, if you want to get 50% off their studio samples and 40% off their Workspace subscriptions, just type in snappening19 when you download whatever you do, when you go and sign up for their subscription, and you're not going to regret it. It's going to be amazing.
So good, Greg. And I can report back to you that S is Sierra.
Sierra.
P is Papa, which I find really weird.
Papa. And tell me that G is golf, though.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Oddly enough, what do you think Q is? Don't try too hard because you're never going to get it.
I don't know. Tell me.
Quebec.
Quebec.
That sounds so dumb. Like, and it's even, Quebec. It has the phonemes here, the phonetic pronunciation. And I assume it's an American-centric thing because the pronunciation is K-E-H, like Quebec.
Oh, Quebec, yeah.
Whereas I would say, and I'm pretty sure the French would say Quebec or something. I don't know.
What do you call that alphabet?
Ah, it is called the NATO phonetic alphabet.
The NATO phonetic alphabet. Now, there's something about that. Like, words that they choose for that are words that can't easily be mistaken with other letters.
Because I think like pilots and stuff, if they don't speak English as their first language... Yeah, they're words that, you're right, that can't easily be screwed up by, say, someone with a particularly strong accent from another language or whatever.
So Quebec might sound a bit stupid. However, when you're saying it over like a scratchy, like horrible reception, mm-hmm. old AM radio, mm-hmm. you could never mistake it for another letter.
That's true. I particularly like grandma for G. Like, that's pretty unmistakable. I think they should change it.
Grandma.
Okay, Greg, now you open up that segue.
Let's just pry that lid off that can of worms.
What was it? It was when they don't book you and they book someone else. Is that right?
That's it. That is it, buddy.
So listen, I had someone, I had a Skype meeting with them and they were awesome. In fact, we got on very well. In fact, they're the kind of couple that I would hang out with as friends. That's how much I kind of like them. Mm-hmm. So it was to my great surprise when they emailed me saying that they booked someone else. And I've got the email here. And let me see. They said, sorry, this is so late. We've been refusing to write this email because I don't know why they didn't want to write it. I don't think either of them wanted to be the ones to tell me this. I don't know why. I mean, we got on really well. We became like friends. We've chosen to go with a different photographer. It took us ages to decide as we really liked you in person and loved your approach to the day of the wedding. I still think you'd be better company and provide a more relaxed environment.
Jeez.
I'm like, dude, are you serious? You book someone else even though you think that? So she continues, the reason we went with the other photographer is the following. In case it helps you. I was like, okay, cool. This is very useful.
And this is unprompted from you.
Unprompted. Okay. So I didn't say, why did you book someone else? This goes to the level of...
You didn't go and knock on their door?
No, I did not with a like gun. Tell me why you did...
Meet them at like the supermarket.
While you're here, while she's picking up cucumbers. No, this goes to the level of that we got on, like that she volunteers this information.
So I've already got a prediction as to why they didn't book you.
Oh, do you want to pre-predict?
This has happened to me once and it was because the mother-in-law was paying for it and she didn't like something about my terms.
That may be something that's happened. She didn't say that, but that doesn't mean that wasn't a factor. Who knows?
Okay.
Okay, so she said there are three things. First, she says, we provide him a list of the important people so he can keep track of who he needs to ensure to get pictures of.
What? Say that again.
So literally, I'm reading from the email. This is the three dot points. The first dot point says, we provide him a list of the important people so he can keep track of who he needs to ensure to get pictures of. So I think she was very impressed that she could give this other photographer a list of important people. That photographer could then be like, I made sure I got a shot of that guy. I made sure I got a shot of that girl or whatever. I was like, okay. I mean, okay.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know what to say. I mean, if that's something that's...
And it's so something that, what if he misses someone? Well, how do you police it? Like, how on earth? So is he going to maybe they're going to not pay him like $500 and then at the end when it's all done, go through the list and make... That's not going to happen.
I'm trying to think of...
It's totally unenforceable.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of how you would even market that as a reason to book me over someone else. Like, oh, if you book me, give me a list of the... I wouldn't even think of saying that.
Okay, let's move on.
How weird. Anyway.
I'm already furious.
I'm glad. Thank you. The next point is something that I'm pretty firm, not that I don't want to do, but I get it. The next point is, we get every picture in color as well as black and white.
Okay. And so, yeah, we'll expand on that.
Should we come back to that at the end?
I think so.
Okay. The last point is stupid. So I'm not going to say the name of the venue. She says, I was worried about the venue's harsh lighting in the reception space.
Oh, God.
And he had a way around it that I'm not going to pretend to understand. So it seems that this photographer has said to this couple, guys, this space is very hard to shoot in, but I can totally do it.
Your and average not photographer many other probably can't. Exactly.
Like, that's pretty silly.
Well, it's, you know what though? I kind of feel like saying good on him to this other photographer. He has sold the couple like snake oil, basically.
It's so true.
And they've taken the bait.
That's literally what happened.
Yeah.
Any quality photographer can shoot in pretty much any dark crap space. Like, that's why we have, you know, been shooting for so long. We've been learning. That's why we bring lighting. That's why we talk to the venue. We say, hey guys, can you turn the lights up? Like, there's 100 things you can do to try and modify bad lighting.
And okay, Tom, do you think the couple would have known anything about the lighting at that venue?
No.
Without the other photographer bringing it up?
Absolutely not.
So he's kind of scared them.
That's what it seems. And she's pretty much said that. So she said that the whole last point is, he told us that the lighting was bad. I got worried, but then he told us he has a way to fix it.
I'm just writing these notes down so I can use them.
So in future meetings, oh, hey guys, listen, your venue, very hard to shoot at, but don't worry, I'm the only one. I'm fine, but no one else is.
It just sounds like they've, you know, it's a shame. I'm sorry, Tom.
Oh, it's okay. I actually like that she was honest and
that is nice.
And she did it in a way. I'd prefer to not get a booking and yet be told she felt way more comfortable with me, you know, sure, than for her to say, the other guy just made us feel more comfortable, even though your photos are better. That would be worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I admit. Yeah.
But she's really shot herself in the foot. Like, what she doesn't realize at this stage is that
have you shot at this venue before?
Many times.
Yeah, come on.
What she doesn't realize is, in my humble opinion, what is way more important than having a dark reception room or every photo in black and white is the feeling on the day and the experience you have with your photographer. That's far more important. Like, if you have a great time with your photographer, you're going to look at your photos and remember what a great time you had.
Exactly.
To me, that is far more important than this other fluff she said.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, listen, and can we talk about the black and white part?
I'd love to. What do you think? What do you do?
I think, yeah, we both do the same thing.
We don't provide, do we?
Well, I just chuck in a black and white here and there.
Me too.
Okay, let's just start from the very beginning. Okay. Is that a good approach to just that we decide which photos should be black and white? Do you think that's acceptable?
I personally think it's the best way to do it.
And for what reasons? I've got reasons, but let me hear your reasons.
So, okay, if we want to take it right back to the start. So I have a way of seeing things and a way of shooting a wedding, and that includes the editing. So when I shoot a photo, I might be like, that's going to look great in black and white. When I'm editing the wedding, some photos look great in color, some don't. Some look better in black and white. So when I add black and white to a photo, it's to enhance the photo. Mm-hmm. It's not simply to tick some box of I've done some black and whites. And I'm sure you do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's why I think we're the better qualified ones. Because it's part of what we do. It's part of our way we shoot.
Some photos in black and white, it's almost like they were meant to be black and white.
Exactly.
Other photos you would never give to a couple, and then you put it in black and white and you're like, you know what? It's okay. This is a salvageable, respectable photo now that it's in black and white. Otherwise, I would probably not give it to the couple because you've got like epic green cast or just who knows what. You're just like, this is a subpar photo that I would delete. Let me just see if I can put it in black and white. Yep. Okay. It's not too bad.
And I don't know about you, but when I have a series of photos of a particular portrait that's awesome, I always include at least one in black and white. So I do like a bunch in color, chuck a black and white one as well, because they might like that particular angle as a black and white. So they are getting a lot of black and whites of similar angles they get in color, right?
Yeah.
Also, the way that people will shoot on digital, the way that we all shoot on digital, what she doesn't understand is when we're editing, I'm changing exposure. Like let's say I shoot a bit underexposed and I up the exposure when I'm editing. Does she now want to have a full set of images in the lower and the higher exposure as well? Do you know what I mean? It's the same
Where do you draw the line?
Yeah. I feel that it's arbitrary that she's like, oh, I want the black and whites as well as the colors. It's just one of the decisions we make in our editing process.
This is good. So how comfortable would you be? I know the answer, but how comfortable would you be going, all right, I'm going to edit this wedding. And I'm going to edit it all in color. So perfectly exposure, like all color, all finished. And then you're going to go like, I don't know, maybe new collection or something, or however it is in Lightroom, like new folder. Can you do like a duplicate thing in Lightroom? So you can have two duplicate. I've never had to do it.
I think you can do duplicate. Oh, I forgot what it's called, where you create
create a virtual copy or create just a new collection and put the same photos in it. So
I'll do them black and white.
Hang on. I'll just do this engagement shoot because I got 111 photos here. Select all, new collection, create collection, BW. Okay, and now Command A, and I'll set the preset to all of them to my black and white preset. Okay, yeah. So that's, and now if I go to the other one, they're still color. Wait a minute. Oh, okay. That doesn't work. Do you understand what I just did?
So you created a second collection called black and white, and then you were hoping to sort of do a black and white to that collection. It doesn't work like that, does it?
No, it's made or everything black and white.
I think you have to do virtual copies, I think.
Okay, virtual copies. So let's assume it can be done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't actually know how. So how would you feel about doing all color, then duplicating the files in some way, and then doing black and white, but not doing a close edit of each one?
Also literally like just grayscaling each photo.
Just go bang, black and white, like put on your black and white preset, export.
I don't know. I'd feel that was sloppy, personally. Because they're black and whites for my preset need extra editing.
I just made this engagement shoot all black and white, and I'm looking through, and the face tones that like the exposure on the face, it's all wrong.
Exactly.
So I'd have to go through everyone. Mind you, the cropping's done.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know, it's notwithstanding all the other stuff we said, it's just extra work.
It's
for what purpose?
Extra work.
Yeah. Is this so a couple can go through the photos and be like, I like, what are they going to do? Like choose the one they like better in the same shot of black and white and color. Man, I'm a big fan of maybe less is more here. So taking away, I like taking away that choice because I feel that from the couple, because I feel that if I make the choice, the final product is more special because that
I understand. It's been massaged. It's like it's been formed by you.
It's like the whole thing we talked about. I'm sure we talked about it. It was a year or so ago. It was like when you're culling, if you can deliver, say, 10 photos of one particular portrait like angle, if you can, you could deliver 10 virtually identical photos, or you can deliver two or three. And in delivering fewer photos, that set actually becomes more special and more important, because you're not like, oh, there's like 10 of the same one. And you, I don't know, I can't put it into words, but sometimes delivering less is actually a couple can place more value on that final thing.
Yeah, I understand that too.
How do I, it's a weird concept, but so I don't know. What do you think? So
I tend to agree.
But I mean, I did lose.
Okay, but how about this? How about this? Do you think this other photographer is going through every single photo and doing pristine edits on color and then black and white?
I would guess that is not what's happening. I have no idea who this other photographer is, and like, you know, good on them for having someone book them for the way that they do their stuff. That's great. But yeah, I don't see how that can be. If that is, I feel their value for money for themselves, for what they're charging, is like a lot lower than what it is for me, because they're basically editing the same wedding twice.
Yeah.
But maybe this is a thing people do and we just don't know.
This is that whole thing of like an extra add-on. You could do hybrid video.
Mm.
You could do black and whites. You could give prints at weddings. There are all these things that you can add on and do. And is now a case of, as a photographer, you're sort of going,
what can I add?
It's not just what photos am I going to take. It's like, what service do I deem valuable?
Don't you reckon that this is, to me, it smacks of a marketing ploy. It's like, here's what you get. Every photo in black and white and color.
Mm-hmm,
It's like a flag that you can wave to say, look at me. I give you more than that person. Whereas these unsuspecting people, in my opinion, don't need that.
Sure. Yeah. It's interesting, Tom. You know, one way...
We should do a poll. I want to know what people do. I might do a poll.
Should we? Let's do it. Okay. I'm going to leave that up to you, though.
I'll do it.
The poll. You're great at polls.
Maybe. Maybe by the time... Poll. Maybe by the time we publish this episode, there'll be some results in, and we can add in. I can add in a little bit about.
Maybe oh, sure.
We're the only ones who do this. I don't know. Anyway,
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, how are we for time? Because
we've already hit the end.
It's like a whole episode already.
Sorry, man. I've banged on a lot about.
No, it's been really good. Do you think we should just tack on the end of this some COVID stuff, or do you think we should leave that again?
I think we should leave it, only because our episodes get
lengthwise,
too long.
This feels like a good time to wrap it up.
And it means we have an episode, we have a topic for next week already.
Okay, we need to promise ourselves that we do COVID contract stuff
100%
next time.
It's important. And it's happening now, you know what I mean?
I know. Well, this is the thing, is like, even I want to benefit from it.
Yeah.
Well, Tom. Okay, so do you want to just wrap up that last little bit? Like, what do people do in your situation where they've been like bamboozled by a photographer that's like over like promising things that are tacky or unrealistic? Knock on you've got to knock on the couple's door, because you've got to like threaten them in some way, and then you got to go and knock on the photographer's door and make sure that shut them down.
Just threaten everyone.
Just buy some bricks, really.
Chuck them in people's houses. Random people. This is for that. Yeah. I don't know.
Just strap your business card.
Oh, wow. And then write in pen like, you're dead. This is a message. I guess in summary, look, I mean, in you are going to lose couples. You are going to lose bookings to other photographers. And it's much better to lose them in the booking stage than you to have a massive problem when you deliver the photos and they're like, we want it all black and white and a color, can you do that? And you're like, no. Then you have a problem. So I think it's actually good to lose couples for reasons that, you know, if this is what they really want, then that's fine. What should we do? I mean, look, I would say stick to your guns. If you don't want to offer black and white and color, or if you don't want to do Polaroids at a wedding, or if you don't want to do hybrid video, just do what you're really good at and do it really well. And the couples that really want that will find you. That's what I think.
It's really good advice, Tom. I had an idea along those lines. Could you say something in like your FAQ and say, do you do full color, full black and white? And then you can just destroy the question.
That's a really good idea.
And same with whatever the other one was. Like, oh, what about venues with harsh light? Boom. Destruction.
Absolute demo there.
Yeah, the whole thing. And then like when guys like this guy come along and go, oh, that venue's got horrible light, I'm the only one. They're like, wait a minute, pal.
Come
I on. Read in T-Stew's FAQ that he can do anything.
It is a pretty weird kind of brag to make to a couple, isn't it? I don't know.
Well, you could say it about any venue. Like any venue, you could say, oh, the lighting's pretty awful like in that venue, because every venue is pretty much like that. But you know, I've got the magic touch. I can make it work.
Midas touch. Look, you know, like you said, good on them. They got the booking, and I'd have no idea.
They bought it.
I have no idea who this is. I don't
they
know.
Bought the snake oil.
Mm.
Okay, anyway. Pal, make it snappin'.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Okay.
Well, I'll probably make snappin'. Thinking about when a camera gets old. Don't wait for it to break before you upgrade or sell.
That's some very nice advice.
I just had a few card formatting / like, oh, there's a thing on the Sonys where it writes a new database file. And I've got my original Sony A7III that has had my 35mm lens on it, which gets used the most.
Okay.
And I don't know, maybe it's up to like 250,000 clicks or something. I think I worked out. It was doing these weird writing things, writing database file things. And now when you half push the trigger, like I've got it set so you can do back button focus and normal shutter focus.
Okay.
But the normal shutter, you've got to push it down about 90% before it focuses. And then it's only 10% more to take the photo.
Okay.
So it's like, focus photo. Anyway, so I've got a backup. So I've just retired my original body and I've brought in the backup, and immediately, oh my God, it's like a different camera.
Really?
It's so good. So I would just say, like, once you've had a camera for 2 years or something, maybe don't think to yourself, oh, I need to get a new camera. Maybe you just think, actually, every 2 years, I need to sell my cameras and buy replacement cameras just to keep your cameras modern, and you probably won't lose as much money doing it that way, because you know it's like a car. Like, oh, it's a perfect analogy. A car at about, if it's done 200,000 Ks, you know it's time to let it go. Like a lot of people at 100,000 Ks are like, it's time.
They are.
I'm sort of thinking that for me, like when I'm getting up to like 150,000 clicks, it's just time. I'm like, hey, sell this camera. And even if I'm buying the exact same one again, it's just going to keep me from the inevitable horrible moment at a wedding.
I do that with memory cards. So every year, regardless of how many weddings I've done, I buy a new set of cards. And you're absolutely right. Like, you know, you don't want a camera to screw up partway through a wedding, and you do want to keep them fresh. And let's hope the A7IVs drop in the relatively distant future so we can get some of those.
I want that.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. I should send a picture of one of my SD cards, because it's like the sticker's almost worn off.
It's so old. Is it time to get to a new one, Greg?
I think it's time. And they're cheap now. They're so cheap now.
Weakest link, man.
That's true. Yeah.
Do it.
Okay, pal. Really good chatting.
Good to talk, Greg. Have a lovely day.
You too, buddy.
See you, bro.
Bye.